Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time to take you behind the scenes in Smash Mouth.
Cuts across, he scores!
This is the Preds official podcast with Thomas Willis and Brooks Bratton.
That powerful blow from back of the net.
On Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
It's been a minute. Episode 110 of the Predators official podcast. It's good to be back here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brooks Bratton and Thomas Willis of NashvillePredators.com. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the month of December. It feels like it's been a month since we did this. I guess we did take a week off for Thanksgiving. But I have opened the Christmas music library. I know you've been at it since June. But it's good to be right there alongside you again.
It is. I'm captivated in this moment. I don't think I've ever watched how slowly producer Max brings down the music. I don't think I've ever noticed that before.
You learn.
It's almost imperceptible. He's just like, oh, I can still hear the faint sounds. Here we are, episode 110.
You learn something new every show.
Yeah, you really do. Yeah.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Delicious. Let's see. It was great. Yeah. My parents were able to come into town. We went and traveled to see my in-laws the weekend before, hence Hal Gill taking my seat for that episode. But yeah, family and great food. Honey-baked ham. Oh, man, how delicious that was.
You do love your honey-baked ham.
As do
the Swedes. The Predator Swedes choose ham over turkey.
They just get a lot of things right. That's all I'm saying. Sister Schubert rolls, as always.
Of course.
Incredible. Sweet potatoes. Mashed potatoes. Why not? My wife, Elizabeth, made, for the first time, a macaroni and cheese that was incredible. I was saying to you, that much cheese, that much butter, that much cream, that many crackers.
It's hard to go wrong.
Hard to go wrong, and it did not. And then for dessert, just a classic cheesecake. It was really good. The theme of Thanksgiving, cheese. And shout out, I'll pull this up later. Shout out to those of you who have been on social media actively over the last week saying, here's my macaroni and cheese for my side, or, you know, X, Y, and Z. So I appreciate that. If we stand firm together, you know, we're just trying to make America a better place. And I think if more people realize, that'll be really good.
Well, we saw Leslie used her Preds gravy boat that she won on the Preds
Fantastic.
Official podcast.
Yes.
Michelle tagged you in a tweet, quoted a Food Network tweet that said, here's our mac and cheese recipe.
Yeah.
And then we had a couple people. I know Dale was one. I think Renee said that they had mac and cheese
good.
On the table. I had mac and cheese at my Thanksgiving. And
it's like the ultimate side dish.
I
just don't understand it.
I hear you.
At Preds NHL tweeted earlier in the week, it was like a poll, is macaroni a side dish? And somebody tagged me in a comment and said, sorry, I don't have Twitter up in front of me, but was like, Matt Benning just like, you know, collapsed when he read this. You know? I was like, yeah, he's still reeling from when we asked him on the podcast.
I'm looking forward to a Matt Benning cabbage roll. It'll happen sometime soon. Yeah.
Your holiday was good as well.
We'll be sure to do a food taste test on a radio program.
Yes.
Where everyone can see it.
Yes, we can really work on our adjectives.
Yes. Mm. Break out the thesaurus. My Thanksgiving was great. It was nice. Stayed here and hung out low key and delicious food. Some great wine. That's high on my list. So enjoyed the wine and enjoyed some time with the girlfriend and such.
And I've heard whether wine related or not, your performance on the football field, we've got to work on it. The hands weren't quite there.
Yeah, a little bit of a turkey bowl. My legs are great. I've never had good hands. That goes back to my days in fourth grade.
Sure.
I was actually the kid who, I want to referee the recess football game instead of play in it, which we all know my love for officiating. So
right.
It started at an early age. I've been weird for a long time.
Uh-huh. Great. Okay. Well, as for the actual hockey portion of this show,
sure.
We do not have a formal update from the NHL and the NHLPA as far as the season starts, but we do expect one soon, and we've been saying that the last few weeks. Currently, as of this recording, January 1st is still the goal, you know, for the start date for this season.
And we should say that we're recording on December 2nd.
Yeah, recording a little earlier.
So a little earlier. So if anything happens in the next few days, you'll know why.
Yeah, good call. There's already been some rumblings. Could that January 1st become January 15th? I think even you and I have said that. But I think overall things remain positive. It's just a lot of details to figure out because, as we've also said, this season's not going to be like the return to play we saw earlier this year. It's going to have to be a totally different scenario, whether that's hub cities or playing in home cities with fans or without them or how the travel works. It's not a situation where you can just have two dozen teams go to two different spots and just finish up these games with playoff series. Mm-hmm. No, it's going to be a lot different. And so because of that, you know, I think it's just taking a little bit longer. Perhaps one other encouraging front, because I brought this up several times, the NBA remains on track. I saw even this week they are starting Christmas Day and have announced even some of their games. So I think that's just even more encouraging to see a similar type schedule. Rosters are, of course, different in size, but, you know, travel and a lot of the same cities for them to be going ahead. I think that's encouraging from an NHL perspective. So we get closer, but unfortunately, at least as of this recording, we're not saying, here's the plan.
Yeah, sure. So stay tuned. As Thomas said, no formal update, but as we go along, something's going to happen, and most of the guys are coming back into town to prepare for that. By the way, we've got an interview with former Predators forward J.P. Dumont, who played five seasons here in Nashville. He's now coaching a number of teams and programs here in the Music City. So a great chat with JP. That is coming up shortly. Some Preds news and notes, a cool Hockey Fights cancer story, some Twitter questions to get to. And I would say probably the most exciting development we can give you that has occurred over the past 2 weeks is ice is back at Bridgestone Arena. The thing that usually gets installed late August, early September, a little bit different to do it in November this time around, but there is a sheet of ice at Bridgestone Arena. It was installed prior to Thanksgiving, and a number of Preds players had been using the team's practice facility at Centennial, but those on-ice workouts have now transitioned to Bridgestone. So what we're seeing right now, and I know a couple of people asked about this as well, there are a lot of guys in town now, and things are very similar to what we saw in phase two of the return to play plan over the summer. So that means small groups on the ice together, simply preparing for the start of training camp, just like we saw back in June and July. And guys like Roman Josi, Ryan Ellis, Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, we've seen them participating. Also seen some of the new guys, Luke Cunnan, we know. Mark Borowiecki is here in town. He's been posting on Instagram, a great follow, he and his wife. On Instagram, we know Matt Benning is here. When we talked to him a couple of weeks ago, he's been on the ice. So, again, another positive sign that guys are just getting back into town and they want to be together as a team. They want to be training. There's nothing requiring them to be here right now. But the fact that so many guys are here already, they're on the ice together, and they're just getting ready for whatever's next. So I think that's another positive sign. And we've been able to snag some photos and see them out there. So I think anything at this point, kind of like it was in the spring, any sort of view of a player on ice is certainly a welcome sight at this point.
Yeah, I should be over there personally toward the end of this week. And as you said, the workouts have been ongoing, and then now maybe it's ramped up a little bit. I'm using that a bit in air quotes because the players have been working hard and been getting ready for the season for a while. And I think not a lot of people knew that. Like you said, they've been at Centennial. They have been skating. They have been getting ready. So it's not as if they've just been, you know, taking advantage of some different and extended off season and won't be ready to play when the 2021 season begins. No, they will be. And you're seeing, you know, great leadership on the ice, in particular with Roman Josi getting those guys out there. And always good for, you know, the new players and the new acquisitions to be there as well. So we think the next time that we'll see hockey is the World Junior Championships, and we do have a few updates to that as well. It is on pace to be, I guess, about 3 weeks from this recording we'll be able to see it. So we have a few updates there. We know several listeners asked about that as well, because it looks like multiple Predators players, or at least prospects, will be involved in it.
Mm-hmm. Christmas Day, World Junior's coming, and the Predators loan forward Igor Afanasyev to Team Russia for its 2021 World Junior Championship selection camp. Now, Afanasyev had already been playing in the KHL. He was on loan there from the Predators. Of course, they own his rights, and he was one of the players that was sent over there. So he will now join Yaroslav Askarov, of course, and Semyon Chistyakov at the Russian camp. And remember, they recently won gold in a championship a few weeks back, where Askarov starred in that tournament as well. So Afanasyev joining those two guys and certainly making a push to be on Russia's roster for the World Junior Selection Camp. And Philip Tomasino, who people had asked about, he is also on loan at Team Canada's camp. They've had some COVID concerns.
There's a reason you haven't heard an update.
Yeah.
It's a kind of weird answer.
Yeah, they've had some COVID concerns, so a lot of their activity has been paused. And trying to remedy that situation. But he has had 2 goals and 3 assists in just 2 intra-squad games at Canada's selection camp. So obviously just scrimmages, but scoring goals in scrimmages is still better than not scoring goals in scrimmages. So his team has won those games in those scrimmages. So what little hockey we've had so far from that aspect of it, Tomasino has done quite well from everything that we've seen. So good to see him doing well there. And then a couple of other prospect updates. Eli Tolvanen, he's still in the KHL with the Jokerit. He's got 10 points and 2 goals in his last 4 games. 10 points overall, I should say, but 2 goals in his last 4 games, including a game winner. And then Askarov, who we mentioned, also in Russia's World Junior Championship selection camp, still leading KHL goaltenders who have played in fewer than 10 games, but his goals against average 0.96 and a save percentage of 0.962. Those are pretty darn good.
He's still a teenager.
That's
that makes it even more impressive. Yeah.
So Askarov's still crushing it. Good news again. And I feel like we're going to be saying this for the next couple of years because we don't expect him over here for the next couple of years. But anytime we can get an update on him and see how he is progressing, I think that's good news. And he is certainly showing why the Predators used the 11th overall pick back in the draft in November.
As they say, you like to see it. The other thing
was
like
the draft in November, or was it in October?
No,
Max says it's October. Who knows?
What year is it? Where am I?
I know. No, that makes sense. It was October.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
My hair wasn't as long back then. I had to.
That's how we're measuring time.
I had to put product in it to go to the arena for the draft.
Yes. We just got off the phone with him. That's our next guest coming up in the second segment, and it's former Predators forward JP Dumont. You may not know this. He's also coaching a lot in the Nashville area, including the high school Montgomery Bell Academy. They have a big game this week. We talk a little about his pathway into coaching, but a lot about his memories of Nashville and what he sees even for this upcoming 2021 season. So great to chat with JP, and you can hear that next on the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Welcome back to the Predators official podcast, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app and your favorite spot to find your favorite podcast. Brooks Bratton, Thomas Willis of NashvillePredators.com, as Max brings down the favorite band of our next guest, Matchbox 20. He played 822 regular season games over 12 seasons in the NHL, scored 214 goals and 523 points, including 5 seasons with the Preds to finish his career. He currently serves as the head coach of Montgomery Bell Academy, as well as a number of other coaching and director roles with the junior Preds. JP Dumont, kind enough to join us on the line. JP, welcome to the Predators official podcast. And is it fair to say that you're busier now than you ever have been before?
Definitely. I miss the old days definitely now. That's going for a morning skate, have a big lunch, a big nap, and go play hockey at night. I definitely miss that because right now, like, you know, I'm really busy. I really enjoy it. You know, I mean, like I said, like when if I would not enjoy it, I would not doing it. But like, you know, I really enjoy being on the ice, so it's a lot of fun.
Have you ever taken a pregame nap as a coach?
Not on purpose. When I play, yes. You know what I mean? Like, my schedule was planned, months and months in advance, like, you know, and looking forward to those naps. And now, like I said, once in a while, especially if I have a big lunch, you know what I mean? Like, I think my old habits are coming back in, and, I will fall asleep pretty much anywhere, plane, like car. I got to be careful when I'm driving, but yes, like, you know what I mean? Like, I definitely miss those afternoon nap. That's for sure.
JP, I'd imagine we have some listeners that didn't know that you've transitioned into coaching and then specifically with youth players. So how did that transition come about and what do you like about it? You know, what's keeping you interested in it as you've taken a lot of your time these days?
You know what I mean? Like, it all started pretty much right after I retired. One of the coach for the junior press back then had a better opportunity somewhere else. So they were looking for a coach to finish the season. So I just jumped in to help out, and I kind of got sucked in for the rest after that. When it was the season was over, I thought I was done, but I got a few calls from parents from that year that they really loved the experience at the end. And I was like, well, why not? And it started, just being involved a little bit. And every year after that just got bigger and bigger. It's all about, give it back. Give my, experience and try to help out, any kids, with hockey. And what I really enjoy is it's like looking back, some of the kids are coming back in Nashville during the summer, right? And they're 23, 24 years old and see the impact that, they're still playing, they enjoy it, and they come back and say, hi, coach, it's definitely, something special.
JP, what do you enjoy about working with young hockey players? And do you ever think back to when you were that age and how you viewed the game? Obviously, you were a high-level player growing up and progressing into an NHLer, but do you rely on some of the experiences maybe from when you were that age, or how do you view coaching young athletes in this day and age?
Yeah, and it's tough, right? Because we all remember, I'm pretty sure you guys the same thing. It's not just with hockey. It's you have an older, figure coming at you and you say hey, you just wait, team goes so that, time goes fast and you're going to go back and look back and you're going to regret not, going to the gym more and working, those things. So you try to send a message to the kids and say boys, I've been there. I was one of the, really fortunate ones to be able to play in the NHL. I play with a lot of kids that were really good growing up. There's a lot of stuff that come in play when you get older. You're trying to make sure that those boys, but at the same time, you don't want them to be robots, right? You want them to be to go to their life, and everybody's, different kid. That's what, a team sport. That's why, you need so many kind of player on your team to be successful, right? You need different kind of players. So it's the same thing here when they're young, right? You want to make sure they're still, they're individual, but at the same time, they have to be ready to be, included on that, that team spirit, that team plan. So those are the things that you try to bring back when, with your experience to the kids.
Former Predators forward J.P. Dumont is our guest here on the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game. J.P., I want to transition a bit to your playing time. And the way you came to Nashville in 2006 was, a late buyout cut, from Buffalo. And then late in the season, right before it started, rather, you knew, hey, I'm going to a new team, I'm going to Nashville. So at least for me, I see some similarities between that situation and what we potentially will see with a lot of these free agents right now that remain unsigned, like Mike Hoffman, Mikhail Granlund, a former Pred, one of them, for example. And it seems like we may get news of the season starting and you may get some free agents that sign with a new team only weeks before, or even less than that, before training camp starts and then the season goes as well. Talk to me about that situation you went through in 2006, and do you see any similarities between, those potential free agents who might be in that same situation and how what you expect they'll go through this coming year as well?
Oh, definitely. So what happened is, I was with the Sabres at that time, and we lost to the conference final. We lost to Carolina game 7 to Peter Laviolette at that time. To go to the Stanley Cup final that year. So, we had a really good season, a really good playoff push as well. So we had, I think, 5 or 6 guys going to arbitration. So, and we pretty much all the guys from Buffalo, they all won their cases with the arbitration. So we had a salary cap issue in Buffalo. So there was no room, for my contract under the new CBA there. So they just walked away, right? So I become a free agent, but the free agent happened July 1st usually, So all the teams, not all the team, but most of the team, they all signed their free agent really early in July, and I didn't become a free agent until August. You know what I mean? Because, like, you know, like, with the process of arbitration and stuff like that. So when I become free agent, you know what I mean? Like, there was a few teams calling, said that, hey, you know, we're really interested, but, you know, right now we have no cap room, and then it's black, you know. So waiting a little bit, and got a call from David Poyle, and, you know, said, like, you know, will you be interested? You know what I mean? I was like, yeah, I'm looking at the lineup. I'm like, yes, I am. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, came to visit, and right away, like I said, like, you know, like, just the way that, you know, like, the management here, like, you know what I mean, that picked me up at the airport. At that time, it was Peter Orichek, came up, picked me up at the airport, went to the restaurant, and all the coaching staffs were there. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, wow. You know what I mean? Like, this is something neat and special. And Nashville, like, and I was in 06, right? I still love Nashville, but, like, you know, it's not the same. You know, when I was in 06 here, like, I really felt it was like, you know, a small city in the big world, right? You know what I mean? Like, it was different, and it's still nice. But like I said, I really enjoy it when we moved back here, like in 06. So fall in love with Nashville. So that was how it happened. But talking about now, it's the same boat. You know what I mean? Like, because of the pandemic right now, like, obviously we don't know if we're going to have a season. A lot of teams are, you know, over the cap already, or, like, you know, don't want to be over the cap or near the cap. So they're waiting to see if they're going to have a season. You know what I mean? So, like, there's a lot of really good players still available. You know what I mean? Like you said, on the market right now, and it's all going to go crazy again. It's going to be almost like another July 1st. Like, when the season will be announced, like, you know what I mean? Like, if we start January 1st or later on, you know what I mean? Like, if that happened, and I hope it does, because we need hockey back bad. But, like, when that happened, I really believe that we're going to have another July 1st. Like, you know what I mean? Those guys, you know, they will get their chance, you know what I mean, like, to go at it. Like I said, though, you know, it's sometimes, like, you know, that's why some of those guys signed their contract right away, you know, big money, like, in front, and signed it right away, because we don't know what's going to happen either. You know what I mean? If we start January 1st, but, like, you know, there's you know, some issue with the CBA, with the Player Association, and, you know, the NHL. And now, like, you know, the cap is going down. So, like, a lot of teams will not have, you know, room to pay those guys. So it's going to be interesting. But, you know, like I said, it's pretty much the same boat. Those guys will not have the same options that, you know, like, they would have if they would have been, like, in a regular, you know, back to normal life. And July 1st was the free agency, and everybody's going at it. All the teams are battling for those players. Now it's going to be different.
That's a fantastic answer. Thank you for improving upon my bumbling question. I follow up with this. Does it matter much as long as there's training camp, if you make a late change of a team, or do you suspect, you know, like, hey, like, it's pretty much the same as if you had signed July 1st, if you do sign, you know, for example, January 1st, something like that. As long as you have a short training camp, it's not too different. Or did you find that it is, you know, tough to acclimate a bit in that system?
Not really. You know what I mean? Like, everybody knows, like, you know what I mean? Like, you look at spot in the lineup, you know, obviously, like, you know, you're a young kid, and you look like, you know what I mean? Like, when you come in at training camp, you're like, okay, like, you know, I really want to get room. Like, you know, I want to make the team this year. Well, I'm looking like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, those guys are on one way. You know what I mean? Like, they're, you know, it's not really an issue sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, teams will, you know, buy out or, like, try to trade. But, you know what I mean? Like, that's how you go to a training camp. It's like, okay, how much space, you know, how much room that there's available right now? You know what I mean? So it's the same thing when you sign in. You know what I mean? Like, if you sign, you know, with the team, you know, during camp or right before camp, you know what I mean? Like, you know that the team wants you there. You know what I mean? Like, unless they're really upfront with you and they tell you that, you know, it's just to start a season in Milwaukee and see how it goes. You know what I mean? But, like, most of the time, like, when you sign that contract, it's to give you a chance to make that team. So, you know, and hockey is a small world. You know what I mean? Like, as much as, like I said, like, you might not even ever play with somebody on that team, but you definitely play with, you know, like, the brother of someone, or, like, best friend of somebody on that team, or right, you know, your best friend, or you're, like, the teammate you hang out a lot, when you play for that team, his, you know, his best friend play for that team. You know, it's a small world, so you get in really quick, and, you know, it's not hard to get in the loop right there. And it's usually teams right now too, all the teams are really good at setting up, you know, the new players coming in. You know, I mean, like with, you know, where to go buy a house, like, you know, where you should go if you have kids, like, you know, I mean, like hospital near, school, everything like that. Like, you know, teams are so good now at getting all the information out there for families, like, you know, coming in to a new city.
JP, you mentioned when David Poile and the Predators came calling in 2006, you were attracted by the roster. Obviously, everybody loves Nashville as a city. What do you remember most about your time with the Preds, the final five seasons of your NHL career? Had your best offensive years here in Nashville as well. So when you think back to that time of your life, what do you think of most? What stands out about your time as a member of the Predators?
Well, obviously, like I said, right, you know what I mean? Like, when you look back, that's when you got some regrets, right? You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and the meaning regret is like, you know what I mean, not winning a Stanley Cup. You know what I mean? Obviously, that's what I'm talking about. It's, you know, I really believe that, you know what I mean? Like, we had, like, some really good teams. You know what I mean? Always something, like, you know what I mean? Like, happening, like, to win the Cup. That's why there's only one winner every year, right? You know what I mean? There's 31 teams now that, you know, wish and look back and have regrets. You know what I mean? Like, so that's what it is. But I had a wonderful time here. Great teammates, great line mates. You know what I mean? It's been a lot of fun playing here. You know, and like I said, like, you know, nothing about hockey. It's like, you know, me and my wife fell in love with Nashville, not even like, you know, 2 months when we moved in 06. You know what I mean? Like, that was pretty much like, whoo, okay. You know what I mean? Like, this is a really great place to raise a family. So, like, the hockey was, you know, the reason why we came to Nashville, but, you know, the people was the reason why we stayed. You know what I mean? Like, it was amazing here and still is. And, my time here, I think we, like I said, hockey was, really popular. You know, I really believe that, I was like, you know, like 98 to 2006, you know what I mean? Like, before I got here, me personally, I was looking at Preds, right? You know what I mean? It was always, I mean, oh man, you know what I mean? Like, they have good players, you know what I mean? Like, but after that, like I said, I really believe, like, you know, like I was part of that progression, you know what I mean? Like, to 98 to 2017 when they went to the Cup, you know what I mean? Like, there was a progression to be made there. And, you know, I'm just proud to be able to say that, you know, I was part of it.
JP, let's close on this. One of those teammates was Pecorine, and the chances are that, you know, this could be his final season in the NHL. So, I'd love to hear a favorite story or a memory. We only ever hear good things about him, but from your perspective, you know, what has Pecorine meant to the Preds, maybe you personally, and then the city of Nashville?
Oh, man. I would love to say, try to find a bad story about him, but there's nothing. Seriously, like, that guy's an angel, man. I'm not joking. Unbelievable guy, unbelievable teammate. You know what I mean? Like, I played, you know, with a few different teams in the NHL and even, like, you know, junior and everywhere. And sometimes goalies, you know what I mean? Like, they have the reputation, like, to be, like, you know, I mean, different. You know what I mean? Like, you know, being by yourself for 60 minutes and have people shooting puck at you. You know, sometimes you have to go a little bit crazy, but I never seen that with him. You know what I mean? And what impressed me the most with him is, like, he will take every time that's on the ice. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he will go on the ice like it's, like, game seven. You know what I mean? Like, that was unbelievable, like, you know, something for Pekka. Like, you know what I mean? He didn't like to get scored on in practice. Definitely not in game, but even in practice, you know what I mean? Like, he was really challenging all the time. I had so much fun. I think, you know, one of the reasons why I think, like I said, like, the players in Nashville are getting better is just that because they had to shoot on Pekka Rinne for so long. You know what I mean? All those guys, you know what I mean? Like, that's how you get better. And I think Pekka Rinne, like I said, like, it's he helps so many guys from Nashville getting better, just because, like, you know, I mean, he was challenging everyone on the ice.
Well, JP, it's been great to speak to you in this medium. We're used to doing it around the rink, and we see you around the rink so much with what you're doing. Continued success with coaching. We know you've got Montgomery Bell Academy really rolling here, so good luck with that the rest of the way, and thanks so much for doing this. It's been great to chat, and we hope to see you in an NHL building again sometime soon.
Oh, I would love to. That's what I said. That's like little step by little step, but that's the main goal at the end. You know what I mean? Like, that's something that I would love to do. You know, my kids now, you know, my four daughters are going to get at an age that, you know what I mean? They are going to be in school, in high school or in college in a few years. So, like, I'm going to be be able to look at the big picture. So I'm looking forward to that.
Nice. Get the resume going. I hear you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, JP.
Appreciate it, guys.
Up next, the Predators Hockey Fights cancer efforts continue, and a pretty cool story from a big Preds fan who has also beaten the disease. This is the Predators official podcast on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
It's the Predators official podcast on ESPN 102.5, The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app. For more about the show, to rate, subscribe, to listen to past episodes, we ask that you do all three. Mostly, we ask that you give us a five-star rating. NashvillePredators.com/podcast. For Brooks, I'm Thomas, the two of us of NashvillePredators.com. It's December. The Christmas music, according to Brooks at least, can finally begin.
and perhaps not shockingly, the first one that we play is by Ben Rector.
Future friend of show, Ben Rector.
Well, we let JP pick Matchbox 20. For those that don't know, we let the guest pick which song they like to come back to.
And I will readily admit, if you have a definitive answer, even if it's just a band, you raise up in my book a little bit.
Yeah. JP was very quick. Oh, obviously Matchbox 20.
Like, I was like, great. Oh, obviously.
Obviously. I'm happy to get some Rob Thomas on the show.
And then it becomes a little bit of a mini, like, musical quiz for Brooks, which I'm sure he loves, because we will often a lot of times get a band, and then there's about 15 seconds of dead air where Brooks, at least on the phone, has to come up with, oh, this is the song that we should play by that artist because it has a good intro, or because I like this particular element. So, and I would say almost every single time the guest is like, yes. Every now and then you'd be like, no, not that one. I prefer this song.
Well, we know if we ever have Dan Hamhuis, it is Bruce Springsteen. Is it Working on a Dream, I think, is the one that he's chosen.
And we didn't realize till afterward he was on the show twice, and we think he asked for that song twice. But
100%.
He knows what he wants, and I appreciate that. So I think I will be picking a little bit more of the Christmas music, taking some of that responsibility away from you. But a great start.
Thank you.
We're on the board.
You've got like 800 songs. Yes, Ben Rector, the new Christmas album, and it's been great to hear all my favorite holiday classics once more.
800 songs and only like three shows.
Okay. Good luck.
Anyways, Hockey Fights Cancer Month just technically concluded with November, but it's at least being elongated a little bit into the month of December because of how well things have gone, but you know, there's still a potential to make it even better.
Yeah, so the Preds are beginning their goal to raise, get this, $36,500 through the month of December. You may notice 365 for the 365 Pediatric Cancer Fund, presented by Twice Daily, of course, at Monroe Carroll Junior Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt. So the foundation has set up a GoFundMe campaign, and in honor of Preds goaltender and co-founder of the 365 Fund, number 35, Pecorine, of course, the six comes from former captain Shea Weber, the other co-founder. The Preds are asking fans to make a $35 donation to help those in need. The campaign runs through the end of December, and over $1,000 has already been raised by the Loyal Legion. So this is the time of year, Thomas, I don't know about you, I always certainly look to give at this time of the year, give back to some worthy causes around the holiday. So $35, you're honoring PECA, you're honoring the 365 Fund, and you're helping those at Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital who need it most. So if you are interested and able and can give, check it out. There's a story on Preds.com, and you can find all the details there. So hoping to raise $36,500. Over the month of December, and I think it's certainly doable because Smashville has shown up in times of need before, so we're hoping to do that again. And it helps people like Marshall Billingsley, who was a patient way back when. Thomas, I know you and I see this picture.
Yeah.
So we see this picture maybe more often than anybody else does because it's in our office, but you may have seen it if you've ever been to the foundation area at Bridgestone Arena. There's a photo of Shea Weber signing a young man's bald head. And you and I, again, we see it every day. It's in our office.
And the Predators' offices, that is. The Predator, you and I do not share an office.
No, we don't. We share a mailbox, not an office.
Yeah.
Yet. So we see this all the time. And it's one of those things. It's like, oh, you know, what a cool photo. Because Shea's cracking up. But you don't see the recipient of his signature. You don't even see his face. It's just his head that Shea is signing. And so for Hockey Fights Cancer Month, wanted to try to tell a story of a fan who has been through the program at Monroe Carroll Junior Children's Hospital, has interacted with the Preds and everything they have to offer. And his name is Marshall Billingsley. I got a hold of him. He's 27 now. He was a teenager. He was in high school back when he went through treatment for Ewing's sarcoma and went through 14 rounds of chemo and was able to make it out. He's doing great now. He's actually studying biology right now at MTSU. He wants to become a healthcare provider. He wants to be a doctor because of the experiences he had with Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital and all the love and support that he got there. But he's a huge Preds fan. And so they used to get visits. You know, all the classic guys back in the day, Shea Weber, Pekka would be there all the time. Guys like Jordan Tutu, a fan favorite he mentioned. But the photo of Shea signing his head, he was an ambassador for a game, Marshall was. And Shea came up to him. He's like the last guy to offer a signature. And everyone had been signing his jersey. And Marshall was like, nah, man, sign my head. Shea's like, all right. So what really made me laugh was a couple of years later, Marshall said he was working at a restaurant and Shea and his wife walked in. And Marshall was good at this point. His hair had grown back and Marshall held his hand over his forehead to cover his hair. And he looked at Shea and said, hey, remember me? And made it look like he was bald. And, and Shea goes, I signed your head. And so like...
It had washed off by then.
It had washed off, yes. But but he said it was just such a cool experience to be able to interact with those guys. And still recently had an email correspondence with Pekka. Pekka still remembers who he is and says hi to him if he ever sees him in a game. So really cool to talk to Marshall. He's a Ginge, by the way. So
fantastic.
Instant friend of ours.
Sure.
And so just great to get Marshall's story. And it's, you know, you see these kids and these young adults who are going through something that no one should ever have to go through, let alone a young person. Mm-hmm. And to hear his story and hear how much it meant to him to have the impact of Predators players and not only passing by, hey, how are you? Hope you're feeling better. Mm-hmm. But then to see those guys at a game or out in the community and they remember, they take time. He said, Marshall said that they had made up bracelets, Marshall Strong, when he was going through this. A couple of years later, he saw Marty Erat, former Preds player, and Marty Erat was still wearing the Marshall Strong bracelet. And mm-hmm. was able to have a conversation with him. And so it really just goes to show that the players... It matters to them. They don't just do it for show. And for someone like Marshall, who was such a huge fan to begin with, he's like, I went through a lot of crappy days, but when the Preds were there, you have no idea what that did for my spirit. Mm-hmm. And so it's just great to get one of those stories. And Marshall is such a cool guy to talk to, but glad to hear he's doing well. And I think that's just one example of what a contribution like that can mean for someone who was going through something like that. And so the story is on Preds.com if you want to give it a read. But it's just great to talk to Marshall and great to see kind of the behind the scenes. Okay, yeah, maybe you donate money, but you don't know exactly what it's doing. It's helping people like Marshall who are in the fight of their lives. And oh, by the way, happen to be huge Preds fans. And the Preds help to give them a better life and help them see the light.
Precisely. There are so many stories that can't even be told, just like Marshall's, that this funding and this work goes to do. So that's why donation matters so much. And the Predators even have so many other programs, not even necessarily just for the patient, but even maybe the siblings of the patient or the families and really, you know, taking care of them through what's perhaps one of the most difficult points in their life. So it is always great to hear a story like Marshall's and be able to come full circle and tell it in the end. So, and it just goes to show that, you know, Shea Weber, when he was here, and then Pecorino, they are the two that, you know, founded the 365 Fund, and look what it's become now in the years since. So nationalpredators.com/365fund, that is the place to go to donate, to buy gear, to read more, like Brooks has said. So would highly recommend that. And really able to put a bow on Hockey Fights Cancer Month for the month of November. Even though there weren't games, even though it looked a lot different, it, you know, may end up being one of the most successful ones that the Predators have ever had. So we'll wrap up the show in our fourth segment when we answer your Twitter questions. So stick with us. That's coming up next on the Preds Official Podcast on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Fourth and final segment of episode 110 of the Predators Official Podcast. Christmas music is out. I haven't heard this version yet. That's Bear, what's his last name?
Reinhardt
of Need to Breathe.
Mm-hmm. With For King and Country.
With For King and Country.
They've got a new album.
Great track there.
Yeah.
Thomas keeps me updated on the Christmas music because he's got like 1,000 songs in his library. So
yeah, find it on Apple Music. Yes, I'm one of those people that uses Apple Music. I don't want to hear it.
No Spotify.
Sorry. There's a very lengthy Christmas playlist that I, of course, would recommend because I have constructed it available. I guess I don't really know. You search my name on Apple Music. It works somehow like that. You'll find it.
You'll find it.
If you really want to.
Speaking of Christmas music and holiday celebrations, have you heard of Jingle Beat, Thomas?
I have. I bet our listeners haven't.
So have I. Well, here's the deal. From December 4th through New Year's Eve at the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, the Predators have partnered with a group called EA Motion, and they're bringing you Jingle Beat. So I want to read this and get it right. So it's a large-scale, multi-sensory installation that dances rhythmically to a fresh remix of holiday classics. It's 2 miles long, outdoor. You drive through in your car, so it's very safe for social distancing. And it's pretty darn cool. It's way different than what you're probably thinking of your classic, somebody strung up some Christmas lights and you drive through them in your car.
Yeah.
This is like concert level production. These are the people who produce shows for top level artists in Nashville and around the world. And a lot of these guys have been out of work because of the pandemic, and we haven't had these big, huge concerts. There's no displays to put up. There's no productions to install. So these are some of the top people in the industry who are putting this thing together. It's family friendly, of course, but anywhere from $45 to $60 a car. And NashvillePredators.com/JingleBeat is where you can find all this information.
Yeah.
So we're really excited about this. We're promoting it through the Preds and helping to drive some traffic there. But certainly check it out. It's really cool. It's a perfect thing to do this year.
Yeah. And again, your ticket is your car. So, I mean, pack them in there.
Yeah. you got a Ford Excursion.
Right.
Load them up.
And experience great music, great lights. Like, it is a Christmas lights experience, but it's so much more, as you said.
So yeah, NashvillePredators.com/JingleBeat. Or if you like the telephone, 615-770-7800. And we've got some deals there as well. So certainly check that out this holiday season, December 4th through the 31st.
All right, let's get to these questions. And we're going to acknowledge some of you. We may have already answered them in the show, but we'll at least give you a shout out because we appreciate it. It's a big deal to take the initiative and ask a question when we request them. So we appreciate it. Connie, I hope there wasn't too much tone in this. She says, will there ever be a Winter Classic anytime soon?
I think what she means is, will the Pred maybe Winter Classic here in Nashville?
Gotcha. So the one that was going to be upcoming in 2021 was going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Well, that was a stadium series. Yeah, there was Minnesota and St. Louis.
You're right. Minnesota was the Winter Classic, and then we had a stadium series in North Carolina. Thank you for correcting me. Those probably aren't happening. And then my assumption would be those just immediately get delayed 1 year. So then that's 2022. So then the earliest in Nashville would be 2023. Now, we said this at the time of the Winter Classic, which, what does that feel like, a long time ago? It was this year, believe it or not. Yeah. It was this year. The Predators, you know, really want to have something at Nissan Stadium, believe that they can, believe that, you know, with their commitment to bringing all the visiting fans to Dallas for the Winter Classic, that showed, you know, hey, we can fill up 70,000 if we are able to host one. And it looks like the league and the NHL has agreed with them on that. So I think it more comes down to when, not if.
Exactly.
The issue is we've delayed the schedule several years already. So the earliest is probably 2023, and that's the earliest.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, again, to your point, I think it's when, not if.
Yeah.
I think that's been established, especially after the showing in Dallas from, 20,000 Predators fans?
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah. Who made the trek to the Cotton Bowl. So, yeah, we'll see an outdoor game here at some point in Nashville. It's just unfortunate everything's going to be pushed back a little bit, but I certainly would anticipate that we will have outdoor hockey for the Predators, at least here in Nashville, sometime soon in the next few years. Hopefully we'll see on that. Dale said an update on Tomasino. We gave that earlier in the show, but he also asked, when did you start putting up Christmas decorations at your house? Black Friday for me, and I went out and got some of the fancy LED lights now. So I have those strung up in the apartment. And then I used the extra lights that I had left over to wrap around my tiny little Christmas tree. So now it's just ablaze with Christmas lights. It's great.
Wow. You may have me beat then. We are 100% in the Willis household, a live tree kind of family. Mm-hmm. So we got that, I think, the Saturday after Thanksgiving. The rest of the decorations followed. Elizabeth did almost all of that. mainly because my dad and I were out cleaning the gutters and fun yard work like that. But I don't want to defame her too much on the podcast, but, and I'm referring to the tree here. It's one of the smallest trees we've ever had. Great shape. You know, looks nice, but
I saw her the other night.
A little disappointing, if I will.
She looks great. She is smaller than usual, yeah, but
you know,
she's full.
I'm sure if I'd asked, I would have been told, well, you know, COVID, pandemic. Oh, for Christmas trees? Yeah, but, you know, anyways, I'm sure that had an effect somehow. I think she's going to do very well, but yes, a little bit of an adjustment. The rest of the decorations, as I said, shortly followed. So we're ready. Three weeks to go.
Our respective living spaces look great. I can promise you that. Hayden was asking about some of the guys getting back and training together. We discussed that earlier, but he also asked me what are some of my favorite bottles of wine. So I am a Merlot and a Cabernet Sauvignon.
Do you ever
guy.
Drink white wine?
No.
That's all I know is red and white.
Yeah, I don't like white wine. So I started on Pinot Noir and then have kind of graduated to Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon. I also like a red blend, but Merlot is the go-to. And just, I mean, honestly, like I'm not fancy enough that I'm like, oh, I need a $200 bottle because one, I can't afford that.
Sure.
I have other things that I'd like to buy, like food, but the
wine is
like,
food.
Like for me, sure. For me, like a nice $20 bottle, like I'm good with a nice $20 bottle. That's, I'm fine with that. That's, again, some really nice wine at Thanksgiving.
I was just going to say, like we talked about earlier, maybe don't consume it before the football game.
Sure,
next time,
sure. But yeah, so I will say I'm still relatively new, like probably like 3 years into my fascination and appreciation for wine. But yeah, some Merlot and Cab and anything. I mean, I've found some different things over the years, but those are the go-tos, and especially in the wintertime. Like in the summertime, not always the go-to, but definitely when it's cold out, I just love a nice glass of red.
Will said he woke up on Monday thinking he missed an episode. I mean, that's, wow, talk about regret. And then he said also mac and cheese was a side dish at the deal table. And I like that he abbreviated cheese CHZ.
Yes.
Those are for the people that know. So great to hear that, Will. And I hope it was delicious, meaning the macaroni and cheese. And at least when you wake up this Monday, you will have a new episode. But hey, you may have listened to it extra early because of the early release time. Renee wants to know any news on the birth of Pecorine's son. So not yet. We think it's going to be in December, but we haven't heard yet. But we'll let you know.
One of many Pred's children who are coming soon.
Here they come.
And Ryan was quick to chime in. What is your favorite piece of Pred's memorabilia you own?
I think we've touched on this before. I am not as much of a memorabilia guy, so we'll pass this to you. Mm. But I was thinking the other day when I saw it again, I have, someone at the Preds gave it to me, a Roman Josi Switzerland Olympic jersey, which he is on.
Oh, yeah.
So he wins the Norse Trophy. I have to assume this thing's only rising in value as the years go by. So, and it's 90 for his birth year and mine as well. So, you know, that's exciting.
That's cool. That's a good call. Yeah, I'm definitely more on the memorabilia side. There have been some cool things. And I mean, as we know, I didn't grow up here, so every once in a while, something vintage will come out. It's like a glass hockey stick with the old logo on it that I just took one day from the office. It was, someone was like, here, take it. I don't want this anymore. I'm like, gladly. So I think that's pretty cool. I have some cool pucks. I do have a puck from the Stanley Cup Final from Game 3.
Yes, I do too.
So I think that's pretty cool. The first Stanley Cup Final game here in
Nashville. I hate to interject, but I was going to say that. I do not collect pucks by any means, but I had noticed the other day, I was like, wow, I have a puck from like every one of the last games the Predators won for like a 3-year run, completely on accident. Large in part because in the season following the Cup Final, Winnipeg, the Predators won Game 6. You and I were sitting there for a morning skate and almost got killed by a morning skate puck that, I don't know, Patrick Laine or somebody like sent into the stands. And I was like, okay, great. But it was like a special one that had like the Jets and the Preds logo on it. So I was like, well, that's the last game they ended up winning that year. But anyways, that has ceased because I have not gotten one in the last two years. But
sure. Yeah, I'm big on the pucks. Have a couple of jerseys. I do have a mustard jersey, which I've always loved the mustard jerseys. And just some cool little things that most people probably think are dumb, but it's just stuff that I've picked up from my travels over the years. I do also save all of my credentials. So I don't know if that's necessarily Pred's memorabilia, but I have every credential that I have ever been given.
Wow.
For any game, draft,
just
all-star.
A few.
Yes, anything. So I'd like to make a collage maybe one day with them. They are currently all hanging on a floor lamp in my living room. It's a nice
Which is sagging under the weight.
Yes, nice conversation piece. So I literally have hundreds of pictures of myself in my living room.
That's going to be like a wallpaper.
That's kind of weird.
Situation, not just a collage. Wow.
Yeah, so all my...
Your future bathroom.
Keep all my credentials. Oh, there's an idea. Buckle up.
All right, let's wrap this 110th episode of the podcast up for Brooks Bratton. Follow him on Twitter at Brooks Bratton, on Instagram, brooks.bratton. I am at Tom A. Willis on Twitter. Make sure you're following at Preds NHL for things like live video streams of high school hockey games, or just for the latest and best content. As we mentioned, with the Preds players back on the ice at Bridgestone, you'll be able to see content from that on that handle, again, across social media at Preds NHL. For more about the show, nationalpreds.com/podcast. Please leave a 5-star review. That can be your gift to us for this Christmas season. Maybe we'll return the favor in kind. Thanks to JP Dumont for joining us. I guess an early Merry Christmas.
Happy December.